Hi, everybody. It's Jim Baekje. The podcast is Be You, The World Will Adjust. Well, this week, I guess it'll be last week by the time you hear my podcast, as we come out on Mondays. This week was International Day of Women, and I just wanted to pay a little special homage to both my mother and my sister, who were long gone. My mother couldn't read or write, but somehow managed to get me through boys' private school and college and give me a great foundation. And my sister, who filled in like a second mother, two strong women that had a major imprint upon my life. A large portion of my coaching practice is women and helping women help women and helping women help men understand systemic biases as well. But helping women be more confident in themselves and willing to stand up for themselves. I'm fortunate enough to have three of my own daughters and a wonderful daughter-in-law as well, who are strong, independent women. They're the pride of my life, not that my boys aren't. And of course, my own dear wife, Jennifer, who is strong and independent and comes from a long line of strong, independent women in her family. So there's a lot of strong, independent women in my life, and I love it. I think it's fantastic. And of course, my podcast producer, Katie, has become stronger and more independent as we've gone on in our relationship. I had an interesting thing happen to me this week. Actually, last week, someone said that they were going to spend the week asking themselves the question at every junction, WWJD. What would Jimmy do? It was actually kind of funny because then when I spoke to her, she said, you know, it freed me from the responsibility of the decision because I basically did what I think you would have told me to do. And the more I did it, the more emboldened I found myself. And this sort of wall of worry that everybody climbs, which is, what'll happen? What if this happens? Or what'll that happen? Or can I really say that? Or can I really say this? It's almost like they were able to separate themselves from the decision-making to blame it on me as opposed to themselves. And so, you know, one of the things that we talked about was relationships that don't fit and how she had said that, you know, when she was thinking about some of the relationships she had and she would say WWJD, she would hear me say, you're just wasting your time. You're wasting your time. You're pushing on a string. You want something to happen that's not going to happen. That the longer you allow it to go on the way it goes on, the less satisfying it becomes, the more aggravated you become, and just come to the realization that this relationship is done. You sort of move on. And I know that I've talked about this a lot in that some people think I'm quite harsh and brutal on people that abuse my friendship and my relationship, but I don't really care if that's how you feel, because the fact of the matter is I've come to the point in my life that nobody's going to abuse my friendship or take advantage of my relationship with them. And I had a recent incident where someone has been ghosting me for quite a while. We had made a commitment to them on something. We had to be with them at this function. And I didn't feel the need to make chit chat. I didn't feel the need to sort of, hey, how you doing? Oh, it's great to see you. It's fantastic. Oh, yeah, you know, blah, 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 blah. I didn't feel the need to do any of that. I was cordial and civil and, you know, not my regular jovial self. And I didn't feel badly about it. And the person chose not to sort of wonder or question why or anything else. And at the end, they said to me, you know, we should golf sometime. And I said, sure. You have my phone number, call me. But I'm pretty sure he's not going to call. So when it comes to, you know, these relationships, we've really got to evaluate them, right? We've got to really evaluate the ones that work for us, that make us feel better, that make us feel stronger, that really care about us. And those types of nourishing relationships, we have to seek them out. And it sort of leads me into my next point, which was, I had an interesting week in that we were talking with one of my clients about fixing things versus things that could be improved. The general view, I think, of most people in the population would be that you should move first to fix things that aren't working well. But what I've come to realize is that things that aren't working well, people normally fix them to bring them up to today. But where the real opportunity is the things that are just okay, and you have the ability to make them great. And that's foregone opportunity. And that one takes a little more effort because people are going, it's not that bad. You know, it's okay. It kind of works. But yeah. Could it be better? Of course it could be better, but everything could be better, right? And the reality is everything couldn't be better. Sometimes you just don't have that ability to make everything better. But there are things, and this is me trying to change your lens now on not just fixing things, looking at things and thinking about they need to be fixed, but evaluate spending the time and energy on fixing something versus the time and energy on taking something from okay to good to great. Not only the time and energy, but which one's going to yield you a bigger result? Could be a line of business. It could be a relationship. It could be absolutely any aspect of your life, right? We're always talking about, you know, I mean, talk about Prince Harry and William, and they're talking about, you know, mending their relationship, you know, and that thing may never get mended, no matter how much work you put into it. And we look at situations where we put an incredible amount of effort into it, and it doesn't improve. It's dead, right? It's got no future. It's got nothing. And again, it could be personal, it could be business, it could be relationships, could be everything. Try this week. Start looking at not the things that I want to fix, but the things that I want to make way better. You know, I like Katie. I met Katie. I've gotten to know her. Well, if I want to get to know her more, then I have to spend more time with her. And I have to dedicate more time, and I have to take a greater interest in her, you know, learn about her life and be part of her life. So that's something to think about. And it's really important because I think that people forget that just because it's okay doesn't mean it's not broken. It could be broken, but you're not looking at it the right way, or you're avoiding it. And I was with a friend of mine who I hadn't seen in a long, long time. It was one of those great friendships where it was as if I'd seen him yesterday. He asked me about somebody else who I was very, very close to for many, many years. And I said, I haven't talked to him in 7 years. And he was like, what? He was in Asia. I went over and visited him in Asia. And I said, he was a complete and utter ass to me. I said, so much so that I actually left his apartment a day before I needed to. And I went and stayed in a hotel. And he was just like, seriously? You people, the two of you had known each other forever. And I said, yeah, we had. And he said, did you just grow apart? And I said, no. I said, I just realized that I was doing all the work. And he said, well, that's really too bad. And I said, actually, it's not too bad. And I said, I haven't missed him at all. And I said, clearly he hasn't missed me. And so I said, you know, I've got lots of new other friends that I kind of fit better with. And it was one of those things that for some reason, people mourn the loss of a relationship or a situation or a job or things like this. And if you're better off, you shouldn't mourn it. It's not like a death when we mourn the loss of someone because we've lost a piece of them in our lives. I mean, if you lose a relationship, if you lose a job, it wasn't good for you. It wasn't healthy for you. Don't mourn, celebrate. Thank God I don't have to deal with that asshole anymore. Or thank God I don't have to do that at that job anymore, right? Like celebrate your freedom and celebrate standing up for yourself and taking your own time. That's enough about that. So we're right around the 1 year anniversary of COVID. What's amazing to me as a Canadian is that Joe Biden is now calling out for all adults to be done by May 1st in the United States. And, you know, we're still somewhere deep in our own end zone in Canada. I mean, I hate to sound political, but our politicians have just done a terrible job and left us high and dry. And the fact that nobody's getting vaccinated, I don't know, until July or August or whatever it is, God knows how much it's all going to cost us by the end of the amount of money that they've spent. It's really a tale of multiple worlds. We've got to get our act together in Canada because it's going to cost us economically. I think we're a bit of a joke in the on the global scene as it relates to COVID. But it's funny, 1 year later, I think somebody wrote, you know, the only difference I feel from a year ago to now is that I actually have toilet paper now. If everybody remembers, toilet paper was in short supply when the COVID pandemic hit. And a lot has changed. The world has changed immensely and dramatically. And I caution you to remain vigilant to change because it's not going to slow down. It's going to continue to get faster and faster and faster. And then for that group of people out there that maybe this is closer to the theme that I was talking about earlier, for that group of people out there thinking that if I don't make a decision, then I can't be right or wrong, I want to remind you that not making a decision is a decision and that the consequences are equal to not making the decision as to making the decision. So along that line, I want to tell you a little story about when I first became president of CIBC Woodgundy at the time, and then later CIBC World Markets at the tender age of 37. We went down to General Motors to have dinner with the management team. And as I always do, I like to leave a message in every aspect of my life, business, personal, whatever it is. So we finished this lovely dinner with a full room of 60-year-old white men. Now I'm in that category myself. And at the end, I said to Rick Wagner, who was the CEO at the time, I said, you know, I always like to leave a little message. So I said, I was wondering if you could tell me how you hedge your yen exposure, the Japanese yen exposure. And he sort of looked at me and he sort of said, And he turned to his CFO and he said, do we have any yen exposure? He said, no, we don't buy any parts in Japan. We don't sell any cars in Japan. And he said, no, I think you're mistaken. And so I pulled out a chart that had Japanese auto sales in the United States and American auto sales in the United States. And I had it plotted against the Japanese yen. And the chart showed that every time the Japanese yen was devalued, auto sales of Japanese cars in the United States went up. And auto sales of American-made cars went down because the Japanese cars were cheaper coming in. And so I showed him this chart. I said, so you actually do have yen exposure. I said, because it impacts your production, it impacts your sales. I said, you just don't think you do. And he said, well, we don't hedge. You know, we don't speculate on the foreign exchange market. And I said, you do speculate on the foreign exchange market by not hedging your yen in some capacity or not taking that into account in your decision-making. It is a mirror image to all of our decisions, right? And if we choose to go left or you know, choose to go right or choose not to choose, everything has an impact. So don't think that by not making a decision that you are absolving yourself from the consequences of not making a decision. You're always responsible for the consequences of either deciding or not deciding. And the majority of the world feels much more comfortable. I get it. Not deciding, right? Oh, don't make me choose. Don't make me pick. And the reality is, and I don't know why this is, I wish I could figure out why it is, but why people don't like to pick, right? Why people don't like to say, this is what I think, this is what I want, which, you know, at the core of sort of what I do is getting people to say, this is what I want, this is what I think. And it's just a bizarre sort of thing. So this week as well, make decisions. Or if you're not going to make a decision, realize you made a decision by not deciding. Last thing I want to talk about is something my son Ed put up on his LinkedIn that sort of caught me at sort of thinking along the same lines and said, look, if you had one shot or one opportunity to seize everything you ever wanted in a moment, would you capture it or would you let it slip away? And it's a friendly reminder from Eminem to capitalize on your opportunities. Capitalize on your opportunities. Make decisions that best serve you. Build relationships that make you feel good. Work with people and places that appreciate you and value you and nourish you. I'm Jim Bakei. The podcast is Be You. The world will adjust. Have a great week.